The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
I'm Beverly Butler, and I'm here with a good friend of mine. His name is John Thomas. I've known him for well over 10 years. He is the author of the book, Young Again, How to Reverse the Aging Process, now in its sixth edition. He also has a website called youngagainclub.com. He's writing a new book that is distributed free via email, published monthly under the name Special Insights. And I can personally attest this newsletter is very informative, and I highly recommend going to his website, youngagainclub.com, and signing up to get his free newsletter. He shares a wealth of information that you won't get anywhere else. He also offers one-on-one consulting without cost to help people with practical alternative health ideas. And we're going to be talking today about how to heal the gut and correct digestive problems. And with that, let's welcome John Thomas. Hey, John.
Hi, Beverly. Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Doing good. Busy as always.
Yeah.
only one of me and lots of people out there needing help.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And staying busy helps keep you out of trouble too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and get started, because you have just a wealth of knowledge to share. You are one of the few people that I've known. I've talked to a lot of health practitioners, other people in the alternative health field, and you're one of the few that you do such deep research. It's unusual to find someone that does the research that you do and as deep as you do. And I always find very interesting talking with you. We've talked a lot through the years, and I always like talking to you, and I learn something every time I talk to you. So I do want to welcome you to the show, and again, let's just jump right in. My first question today, John, is what do you think are the main causes of gut issues today?
Gut issues can sometimes be described as people will say, I've got irritable bowel, and they'll kind of consider it intestinal or gut issues, and it is intestinal, but it's only the last 6 feet if it's colon involved, but there's lots of disruptive, problemsome digestive issues that lead into or contribute to irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, when you hear the word syndrome, Beverly, you must realize that means it's a guess. They don't have any other name for it, so they either call it a syndrome or a disorder.
Right.
The medical people, and to a large degree, the alternative community, they work strictly on the basis of a diagnosis, tests, etc., that say, oh, we've got X, Y, or Z problem. If they cannot diagnose it, then, as far as they're concerned, you don't have it.
Correct.
Another way of saying it is all in your head. So when you hear the word syndrome or disorder, that just simply means they didn't know what else to call it, and they called it that to give it a name and give you the purple pill or whatever they're going to recommend you do and send you home, get you out of the office, because you're not clinically sick. You're only clinically sick when they can diagnose it. Until that point comes, till the line in the sand is drawn and you cross the line, you don't have a problem other than you got a bunch of complaints and you're whining about this and you're whining about that. So the medical system and, to a large degree, the alternative community looks at everything from the standpoint of a disease. Is it mm-hmm. diagnosable or is it not? If it's not, we'll call it a syndrome or a disorder. So it helps put things in, because if you have a syndrome, you don't have a disease. If you have
right.
a disorder, you don't have
right.
a disease.
Right.
Okay. So your question then is, what is the cause of gut issues?
I think there are probably several, but what do you think the main causes of gut issues are today?
There is no one main cause.
Right.
There's a collection of factors that come into play based on each person's body and their personality and their temperament and their diet and their health history and past health history. There's their digestive capability or lack of it, their diet, how well their bowels work, how efficient their liver is. There is just a plethora of contributing factors, and it varies from person to person. But what people really need to understand is assuming, and it's a very big assumption these days, that you're eating good food, and assuming that you're not eating junk and contributing to an inflammatory body situation that's driven by sugar and fruit, including fresh fruit and especially juices and alcohol. But sugar, fruit, alcohol, if it's any of those guys, then it automatically begin those dietary items change the makeup of your intestinal tract.
Right.
Your bacteria, otherwise sometimes known as the microbiome. And your bacteria are what act as the middlemen between the food you eat and the intestinal wall, otherwise known as the gut wall.
Yeah, excuse me if I interrupt you, but the probiotics or the gut microbiome are extremely important. And maybe you have some time to talk a little bit about that too, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, we'll touch on it as we go. So the point is that what you eat ultimately will determine not only your digestive capability, but what you'll get out of it. It'll very much determine gas and bloating. It'll very much affect what good bacteria are left or have not been destroyed. It will also determine what bad guys, like, you know, and what kind of microbes do grow and inhabit or have taken over your intestinal tract, like yeast. Yeast is a very common item, particularly for women. But hey, if you're overwhelmed with yeast, it's miserable, and it should not be. And the sad part is that the yeast is not the enemy here. The yeast is merely growing according to the conditions you have created for it. So we must not think of yeast as the bad guys. Rather, we need to change the conditions within the body's intestinal tract, or sometimes I refer to as the terrain, so that the yeast will go back to where it belongs and stay there rather than spreading throughout the whole body, feeding on waste all over your body, your joints and all the and your memory and your sinuses and your congestion. Yeast plays a big factor in that, but the yeast isn't the problem. It's merely a symptom.
Right, right. And so, some people think that yeast is only in your colon or in other areas, you know, the vagina.
Well, but
yeast can actually go anywhere. It can be systemic and even get in your brain and all over your body when it gets out of control.
For most people, it is systemic.
Right.
And it's systemic because of the sugar, the fruit, the alcohol. It just creates the perfect situation, and once the body gets toxic enough, the yeast will go there and feed on it and breed on
it. Right,
it can cause you all these arthritic aches and pains, your knees swelling, your shoulder hurting, the back of your neck all swelled up, sinusitis, sinus inflammation, on and on and on. Know that yeast is a player in the story, and yes, it does belong in your body, and yes, it does belong in your small intestine or your gut, but it doesn't. It should not be the controlling factor. You've got tens of millions of other kinds of bacteria in your intestinal tract that do belong there, and they help manage to keep the balance in the intestinal tract. And when the balance gets out of balance, you can't digest your food, and the food rots in your intestinal tract and poisons your body. The food produces gas and bloating. Your food ultimately in poor digestion will drive bowel issues, constipation, diverticulitis, colitis, irritable bowel. The point is that how you digest your food is second only to what you eat.
Right.
So we probably should start there. What should you eat? Well, let's start with what you shouldn't eat. Anything that's prepared, quick food, junk. anything that you know that comes out of a fast food restaurant, and in that case, in which includes most restaurants these days, in general, because of the ingredients and things that they're using. But if it isn't plain, simple food, then it's really not very good for you. Lots of green vegetables are always good, and they should be organic if at all possible, lots of them raw. A nice salad, olive oil, wine vinegar, apple cider vinegar, excellent. Meat, lamb being the top choice in meat. I don't have a problem with beef, and I don't have a problem with pork. We'd like to get organic if possible, and it costs a lot more, but it's the way it is. Chicken, obviously, needs to be organic because the animals are being made sick by all the drugs, antibiotics, and all this stuff.
Right.
And sick food makes sick people, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so eggs, excellent food, protein. Potatoes, if you don't overdo the middle of the potato. yams, otherwise these days called sweet potatoes. I'm talking about the yellow, golden-type yam, sweet potato. breads in very modest amounts, especially for those poor people who have gotten to the point where they have, gluten intolerance.
Yeah, gluten intolerance, I would like to.
There's a ton of them out there, and it's not in their head. And yes, they are extremely fragile, and they are extremely reactive to the gluten. But just like the yeast, the gluten is not the problem. They have a heck of a good case of an inflamed, torn up, damaged gut, which we'll loosely refer to with the umbrella term leaky gut.
Right.
They're not digesting the food they eat, assuming that it's good food. And that food that doesn't digest, when it leaves the stomach, it hits the intestinal tract, and if it leaks into the bloodstream, you've got nothing but allergies and autoimmune responses and aches and pains, and if it's severe enough or violent enough, you'll go into anaphylactic shock. People do that with peanuts all the time. Why?
Right.
It's the proteins that are doing it. You're not digesting your proteins in your stomach, and when those proteins hit the intestinal tract, then they leak into the bloodstream, and here we go. Now, I will venture a umbrella statement here, and that is, if you're 35 years and older, you got leaky gut. To what degree? Depends on you. But
yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, they say that as many as 80 to 90% of Americans have leaky gut. So
I think it's probably closer to 98%. And that, these days, I think we can include the children in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the same reasons with the adults. Now, there's lots of factors that will lead to leaky gut, but I'm trying to stay for the moment just on the issue of digestion.
Right.
What you eat has to be digested. If it isn't digested, it rots in your system. It pollutes your body. Drives the yeast infestations. It helps kill off the good bacteria. And if you're eating sweets, particularly any kind of sweet, and I include fruit in that. There's lots of good things in fruit, but fructose is not one of them. And if you eat fruit, you're going to drive yourself into a hormonal storm between insulin and leptin, and you will end up turning into a borderline diabetic before you become a full-blown diabetic.
Right.
Fruit is bad news. I'm sorry, you've got to get it out of your diet. And everybody has leaky gut, partly because of what they eat, partly because of what they don't digest, very much because of the use of antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And most everybody has had those multiple times in their lives. Children are getting slammed with them.
Right.
And they can do terrible damage to the intestinal wall, damage that sometimes can never be fully repaired. But damage that can be mitigated so that it doesn't have to control your life and ruin your life. But if you don't get it under control, a damaged gut can cause major troubles. It leads to all of the autoimmune disorders. And what are those? Anything and everything that has a medical label. Diabetes, cancer, arthritis, fibromyalgia, lupus. Arthritis, go on down the list. Pick one. I don't care. Just throw the dart at the board, whichever one it hits. All medical conditions are, by definition, autoimmune responses, meaning your very own immune system is attacking you. You have become the enemy because of a leaky gut, those foods and proteins getting into the bloodstream that don't belong there cause your body to go stark raving mad, and then the body begins attacking you, depending on who you are, your age, sex, whatever. It then will attack you, and that's where all these syndromes and disorders come from prior to the doctor being able to, quote, officially call it a disease.
Right.
And so antibiotics, bad news. If you eat common meats, and it's nothing wrong with the meat unless you can't digest it, and if you can't digest it, we've got a digestion problem that has to be addressed, not a meat problem. It's not a matter of meat eaters are healthier or sicker than vegetarians and vegans, because I know more of them that are fragile, sick, and messed up than I do meat eaters. But
right.
Either way, you're going to go down if you don't digest your food.
Right. That's the first step. The first step.
And you must eat clean, healthy meat. But you don't need that much. You don't have to pig out on meat, but you need to eat some. And you need to digest it. And eggs, I'm going to put in the same category with meats.
Right.
Meat eggs are very good for you, assuming you can handle them. If you can't, we got a digestion problem, and we got a leaky gut problem. So I would say to you, hey, if you got problems with any particular food or food categories, we got a digestion problem, number one, and number two, we got a gut problem, and
right.
number three, we got some autoimmune issues going on here, and lots of little things that have to be talked about on an individual basis with each person. The point here is, what you eat, top of the list.
Right.
Your ability to digest it, second to the top of the list. Beyond that, then your lifestyle comes into play. Because you asked me the original question. I want to bring the listeners back to point. What causes gut problems and digestion problems? All of the above. We're touching on them. We've hit a couple of big ones so far. What you eat and your ability to digest. And I will say to you, if you're over 35 years of age, you're not digesting your food. You're not digesting it anywhere near as good as you did before when you were younger. And as you get older, it will get worse. And the gas and the bloating are dead giveaways. Constipation, dead giveaway. Indigestion, acid reflux, on and on we go. Those are all big giveaways. Those are confirmations. And notice these uglies that are related to digestion and food, they come into play typically after about 35, about the time the waistline starts growing and the skin starts changing and the hair starts thinning and the skin starts looking not as pretty and on and on.
So you're saying that those symptoms of expanding waistline, hair thinning, all that are maybe symptoms of poor digestion?
No, confirmation.
Confirmation. Okay.
They're not symptoms. Oh. They are symptoms, but they're confirming the problem.
Right.
And then we get into issues then of lack of exercise, not drinking enough water.
Uh-huh.
Sluggish bowels automatically. Think about it. Just because you eat and poop once a day doesn't mean you are regular. You're
right.
Just more regular than the person who only goes to the bathroom once every 2 days.
Right.
But ideally, if you eat three times a day, guess what? You should be going to the bathroom three times a day,
correct.
And rare is the person who experiences that or gets to experience that. And I spent 45 years of my life on the other side of the fence, and I know what that one's all about. And the point is, these things are all dead giveaways. We got problems. You should not be constipated. And if you're not going three times a day, guess what? You're constipated. Now, that may not be the medical definition, but it's my definition. And you
right.
need to pay attention to the symptoms.
Right. Most medical doctors say if you're going three or four times a week, that's good enough.
Well, it's better than someone who goes once a week.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so,
true.
So I'll give them a little slack on that one, except that they themselves have got the same problems. It's a subject that's kind of off color. Nobody wants to talk about it. Well, they should.
Right.
Be better.
Right.
We need to address and deal with that. So bowel problems in general mean we got digestion problems. So if you got any kind of bowel problems, any kind of leaky gut, any kind of diverticulitis, colitis, you got blood sugar swings all over the place. You're constantly having to snack and eat. You're a grazer. You can't go 4 to 6 hours between meals because you're starving to death. Dead giveaway. Bingo. We got someone who has terrible digestion.
Right.
Their diet is questionable. And Beverly, the next factor then that contributes heavily, very heavily, every bit as much as food and digestion does to leaky gut. is called stress.
Right.
And everybody has more than their share of this one.
Right.
And whether it's emotional, family, you know, marriage, children, I don't care. Stress is stress, and stress raises hell with the lining of your small intestine. And if you're under lots of stress, and it's either traumatic stress can drive you over the cliff in one night, and you
right.
can never, and many people never return
from
a major ugly in their lives. Something awful beyond that's so mentally incomprehensible, or that the person just simply goes into mental shock. That'll destroy the lining of your gut, and sometimes you never come back.
Yeah.
Certainly, ongoing stress of the daily chores and problems of life, and we all have them. But stress, there's no other way to describe it as anything but ugly. There's nothing good to come out of stress, and it does raise all hell with your digestion and your intestinal tract. So there's a secondary major cause of leaky gut that has nothing to do directly with the food or your digestion, and yet it has everything to do with both of those, because once you damage the gut wall from antibiotics, from stress, ongoing or traumatic, you're going to have gut problems from that day forward, and unless you can deal with it. Now, probiotics, I love them. I'm very favorable towards them. There's nothing bad I have to say about them. But what people got to get through their heads is that their job of the friendly bacteria, which is what a probiotic is not to rebuild and repair the gut wall. It's to manage the food and the processing of the food, the digestion of the food, and mediate between the food itself and the gut wall. The gut wall is where the leaky gut problem is. Food that leaks in through the gut wall into the bloodstream where it doesn't belong, that's leaky gut.
Right.
Food that is undigested or poorly digested, and I'm talking specifically about the proteins, meat, fish, eggs, that sort of thing. Proteins are the one that causes all of the autoimmune responses, not the fats, and not necessarily, for the most part, the carbohydrates, even though we want to keep those way down. We'll talk about those in a minute. Proteins. Proteins only digest in your stomach. If you fail to completely break down proteins into their component parts, which are called amino acids, that when they're hooked together in little chains, they're called proteins. If those proteins don't break down and they get to your intestinal tract, two things happen. One, they begin to rot, producing a lot of poisons and toxins that flood your system and just cause a happy hunting ground for parasites and yeast and everything else that love to feed on this waste and toxins. And secondly, those proteins that leak into the bloodstream, they cause your immune system to go stark raving mad, and your body will then begin attacking you.
Right.
Somebody that gets arthritis, got arthritis flare-ups every time they eat certain things, people who get so-called allergies from this food or that food, they got a heck of a case of leaky gut, and they're not digesting worth a darn. Things can be done to mediate these problems and to help bring them around, but it takes time and a little work and effort, and people have to cooperate. They cannot keep eating the major antagonist to the situation once it begins. So let's recap. Whether your problem begins with poor digestion or bad diet or both, whether antibiotics and heavy stress is involved, and if you're age 35 and above, you qualify on all four.
Right. Right.
And once the problem begins, then it self-perpetuates.
Right.
And the body is not able to turn it back around for several reasons, some of them being the four things we just mentioned. But the other one that really perpetuates it is, Beverly, the intake, consumption of sugar in any form, and juices in any form,
right,
and fruit in any form, and too much carbohydrate. Carbohydrates being potatoes, pasta, starches, in other words, rice. If you want to become a diabetic, all you have to do is just keep eating the sweets and the carbohydrates, and I absolutely guarantee you will get there. So I will summarize some of this now and put it into context of people's problems. You got to know that long before cancer shows up, long before arthritis and fibromyalgia and cardiovascular problems and all the aches, pains, and uglies and syndromes and disorders, long before they appear, it's the sugars and the fructose and the fruits and everything that are causing an absolute war to go on inside your body, to where your brain is not able to get correct readings on your insulin levels. Your brain thinks your body is starving, so your brain tells your appetite to crank up and eat more because it thinks you're hungry, when in fact you've already got too much food in your system. And the messenger that tells the brain how to work is called leptin. It's a regulating hormone, much like insulin, and leptin controls insulin. And we know people, you know, whenever you hear the word insulin, you should immediately think diabetic, correctly. And so, eat lots of fruits and sweets and carbohydrates, and you will eventually become a diabetic, whether you ever get cancer, cardiovascular, etc., or not.
Right.
It's a guarantee. And this is what drives the whole process. So, leaky gut plays into the picture because it antagonizes your immune system. Your immune system goes crazy. It can't identify what the problem is, but it knows there's an invader in the bloodstream that leaked in there from your undigested food and proteins in your intestinal tract, and it wants to attack, and it'll attack different people in different ways. Some people get, women particularly, get thyroid problems, hypothyroid, Hashimoto's. Other
right.
people get fibromyalgia. Someone else, it's called neuropathy. These are all just symptomatic manifestations of leaky gut, an immune system that's gone stark raving mad, someone who's pouring gasoline on the fire every time they eat,
right?
And what they're eating, and they're not digesting, and it just goes from bad to worse, bad to worse. Notice, Beverly, people age after 35. Up to around 35, if they're lucky enough to get that far, they do okay. They get by, whatever. But the problems start taking shape after 35.
Okay, explain that. I was going to ask you, you have the age 35. What happens, because I know there would be a lot of people out there wondering, what happens to us at 35 that starts the aging or speeds up the aging process and starts causing all these digestive problems, etc.?
All right, it's a good question and a fair one. I'll start with age 24. Men and women, assuming you're lucky enough to get this far, let me qualify that. A child who's been subjected to endless vaccinations or who has real problems and has reacted poorly to them, children that are living on carbohydrates and sugar and fruit and soda pop, kids that have too much sweets in their diet, kids who don't eat good food, kids who aren't digesting their food, kids who have got some of the many complaints that older people have, those children are already in trouble. And across the board, about 98% of them today are in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's the average American child you're talking about.
Yes, and by the way, this is right down your alley. We know that the reaction to the vaccinations absolutely drives something called autism.
Right. Right. For those, plays a part.
For those that it doesn't kill, and it
right.
does kill lots of children,
right,
or completely mentally destroy them. And the reaction to the vaccinations is actually a insulin leptin resistance issue, because those children are living on food, as in formulas that are carbohydrate, sugar, corn syrup driven,
uh-huh.
and those are the children that often will react so violently. So one of the number one buffers against the reaction is to make sure you get those babies and those kids off that stuff long before they get their shots, assuming you can't avoid it. So going back now, assuming that a young person makes it into teenage years, by age 24, you peak.
Okay.
At age 24, you're already on your way downhill. Everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you eat. I don't care. I mean, some are worse than others, but at age 24, it begins. But by age 35, to answer your question, you can't take it anymore.
Okay.
Your body begins to break down. That's why I use the age 35. We know what happens to women and men in their 40s, called menopause and andropause. Things are changing.
Right.
Everything's changing. Menopause and andropause should be thought of as the flip side of puberty.
Right, right.
For boys and girls. And we know that the 40s can be hell for people. A lot of men got lots of problems. They don't talk about it so much. They tend to suffer a bit less and not as violently or not as obviously as the women do, but they got their problems. And so all the changes that come in the 40s really start in your teen years, certainly by 24. By 35, it's starting to show up. Everything's starting to change.
Right, because nothing happens overnight. It's been brewing all these years.
Yes. And then that brings us now to back to where we started. Once the problems begin to really manifest and show up, the waistlines, the skin, the bowels, the hormones, the period problems, whatever, then poor digestion and bad food and sweets and alcohol and fruit absolutely amp up the whole process to where you begin going into these real tailspin type syndromes and disorders that the doctor can't put his finger on, and all you know is you feel like hell and look like hell and you can't figure out what's wrong, but everybody says you're nuts.
Right, right.
And you're not nuts. You just don't understand the process. And it's as predictable as day and night. And I won't say it's easy to reverse, but it's not undoable. The sooner you catch it, the better. Because once you get to the point where you've gone over the cliff, now you become the captive prey of the medical system, because now they can diagnose a disease. You don't want a disease. You want just complaints and problems that your body can correct. Because once the medical people put the fear of God on you, or you become scared, or you begin believing all the sweet nothings on the TV every 5 minutes that come out on the medications, then they will own you.
Right, right.
And now we can't bring you back, because now your fear has set in.
Right.
And the medications do massive damage. You know, don't forget all of the wonderful contraindications and warnings that come in the fine print that they read to you after all the wonderful pretty pictures on the ads.
Right, right.
Yep. People should not be using and living on NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, as in aspirin and Aleve and ibuprofen and Tylenol and all these uglies. They're disastrous to your intestinal tract. They are extremely antagonistic to your gut wall.
Right.
They're every bit as bad as antibiotics, but in a slow motion version.
Right. John, let me interrupt you right here. We're coming up on about 5 minutes. We have about 5 minutes left. So before we close, I would like for you to maybe give just a list of some general things that people can do to help heal the gut, some supplements maybe they could look at getting, and also talk about some products that you offer that is good to help with the gut.
In general, I would like for people to be using probiotics. That's a general statement. In general, we need to deal with some digestive support. Absolutely, we have to, must eliminate all the sweets and fruit, fructose, sweet soft drinks, alcohol. Those have to be eliminated. If you don't eliminate that, those things, then nothing else we do will work for you. You need to increase the amount of fat in your diet, butter, coconut oil, olive oil. You need to limit your meals to 3 a day, no more than 3 a day, no grazing in between, please. Minimum of 4, preferably 6 hours between meals, to give your pancreas and your body rest. Got to get off and away from all the antibiotics. I won't tell you to get off any medications you may be on, because that's not my job, but I can sure tell you they're not helping you. If your body can respond and come back online, your doctor will voluntarily take you off many of the medications, but he won't do it until he sees it in your blood tests. So if you're already under care, then, well, we're going to have to deal with it from that perspective. Apple cider vinegar, for most people, is extremely beneficial. a teaspoon to a tablespoon and a glass of water between meals every day, 2-3 times a day. Try to get the stress down in your life. By the way, poor sleep is another major driver of gut digestion and bowel problems, autoimmune problems, poor sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, you're in trouble. There's lots of things. I prefer Beverly to talk about what I do and the way the approaches I take on an individual level, because we could talk for 2 hours and never touch everybody's problems.
Right, right.
I've got products and mostly tricks to teach people so they can begin to slowly bring their systems back online. I want to finish on this point. Your body can correct and reverse and restore almost anything that happens to it unless you go just simply too far. And if you give your body that opportunity, it will begin correcting things. Got to deal with the sweets and the hormones, the insulin issues and all of those. Got to deal with your digestion, deal with your bowels, got to deal with the liver. What else? Exercise. Can't stress it enough. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything about it's good. Just don't make it abusive exercise. You don't need to kill yourself. Just make sure you get some every day. Move your body. And we got to work on those bowels. Water is a big factor there. You get, as simple as it sounds, 8 glasses a day. No water with your meals. Okay? No liquids with your meals. Water will help your bowels move. Your bowels, when they move, will release a lot of the poisons. That'll take the burden off your liver, which will help your digestion. And we got to deal with the rest of it on an individual level. There's any number of ways I can go. I have to deal with the individual based on their age, sex, problems, health histories, etc., because everyone has a different story.
Right. Well, John, I want to say thank you for this very informative information you've given us today, and I want to highly recommend that if people are interested in what you've had to say and have some problems that they want to talk with you about, they can go to your website. I think your contact information is on there. And also,
youngagainclub.com, and they can subscribe to my free newsletter called Special Insights. It's actually my next book. I'm writing in chapter format. One chapter is released once a month. People can become acquainted with what I do, who I am, why they might want to reach out, because, you're on your own, folks, everybody listening out there. You're on your own. Your job is to take care of yourself. Your job is to stay out of Obamacare, out of the medical system, to not ever have the need to go there. If you have good health, you're as lucky as it gets.
Right, that's right. And also, again, check out some of his supplements. I've taken several of his supplements, and they're top of the line. They're some of the best supplements out there. And the older I get, the more picky I get about supplements. But I know he has a gut supplement that I've used extensively, and it has done amazing things for my gut, and it also helps you sleep like a baby. And that's just a nice side effect of it. And I've also taken his stress product and some other ones, and I just can't recommend them highly enough. So if you're interested, again, just go to his website, youngagainclub.com, subscribe to his newsletter, and again, I think his contact information is on there. And again, thank you, John, for this interview, and I know it's going to be very helpful to many people.
Yep, you bet, Beverly. Now, I will comment. People who get my first book, Young Again is the title.
Right.
It's free. If anybody wants one, they can call and request one. Have to pay a little bit of shipping, but I'm happy to send them one. Aside from that, people need to get to know me a little bit and understand what this is all about, because there's nobody else out there that's going to take the time with you to teach you how to go there step by step. It's a personal journey for each person.
Yes, and I can personally attest to that. I've talked to you several times about myself. I've talked to you about my daughter, and you're very, very helpful. Very helpful.
Okay, there we go.
Thank you so much, and thank you for listening. And until next time, always remember, you don't know what you don't know. Thanks. Thank you, John.
Bye.
Bye.